Okay, today we are starting Seder Kodashim, starting with Masechet Tzvachim. I'll give an intro to Korbanot in general, and I just want to point out that in the Schottenstein, I hope you have it in the English or the Hebrew, there's an excellent chart, which maybe looks a little bit intimidating, but if you look in the beginning, there's a chart about all the different types of sacrifices, and what animal you bring for each, and whether it's a male or a female, and is it Chovar and Nedavan, is it Tzibur Yachid. It's a good chart to refer back to. And anyway, that's good to know. So let's just do a fortune mode for the week. Sarah Batovor, the Pneum of Racha Freedom, Havala, Vibrahim Ben Sipor, Bernie Batsar, Avamun about Chava, Hanalea Bat Fredel, Ayala Tashaka Ben Shashan Bracha, Shulami Bat Yonamir and Bat Chaya. The Liloinish Mother at Spihaim Ben Lea Etel, the Hershel Tzvi, Shlom Chaim Ben Pesach, the Dinasar. Okay, so a little background. Zvachim, generally referred to in the Torah, means korban shlamim. Im zevach shlamim and zvachim are generally shlamim. In this case, when it starts with zvachim, kol zvachim, which we're going to start with, I'm not going to go to the first line yet, but zvachim means korbanot, sacrifices in general. It doesn't mean only korbanot shlamim. Here we're referring to any type of korbanot. I'll give you a list of the main types of korbanot. We have an ola, which goes kulol shamayim, everything gets burned. We have the chatat, which we've talked about a lot recently. It comes based on various sin offerings. There's asham, which we also made reference to in the last masechet. There was asham zelot, asham ilot. There's particular chataim. The similarity between chatat and asham is they both come if you did something wrong, as opposed to other korbanot, which don't come for some wrongdoing. Shlamim is a korban that generally the people eat. It's like similar to the ola in the sense that, I don't know if it's similar, but in other words, it doesn't come for a chet. Okay, the shlamim, there's all different types of korbanot shlamim. I'll give the next ones on my list are actually types of korbanot shlamim, like the todah, korban pesach, b'chor behema, maser behema. Okay, these are all types of shlamim where people eat them. Okay, part gets eaten by the people, part of it gets burned on the mizbeach. What else? We've seen that sacrifices are given either animals or birds, or sometimes it could even be a mincha. Okay, that's going to be the next masechet minachot, where we're going to talk all about the flower offerings. The animals are sorted by species, by age, by sex. They're sorted, the korbanot are sorted. I'm just giving kind of over. Okay, we'll get into all these things more. I'm actually excited because I feel like these are things that we always reference, but we never have as clearly organized as we'd like. So I think by the time we finish this masechet, we'll have things, and in general, Seder Kodashim, you know, we'll have a lot better understanding of all these things. All the korbanot are not going to be in Tzvachim. Okay, there's also Masechet Tamid, where they talk about the Korban Tamid, the one they brought every day. Okay, there's different Masechtot that are going to relate to these things. There's Kodshi Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim, right? There's a higher level sanctity to some of them and a lower level sanctity. Where they get shechted, there's a difference between them. Some only in the northern part. Some could be anywhere. Shechita, okay, let's talk about the four avodot. There's four avodot when it comes to an animal. We're going to get reference this a lot, and we've seen this a bunch of times. There's shechita, which is the only avodah that can be done by a non-kohen. There's kabbalah, which is as we shech the animal, someone collects the blood that's coming out of the animal. Then we have holacha, walking the blood to the place where they sprinkle it. And then the zrika, the throwing of the blood, which isn't exactly throwing. It's often putting it on the mizbeach, sometimes on the upper half, sometimes on the lower half, on the corners. There's all different types. There's one, two, four on the four corners. Depends on the korban. There's different options for the korban. It also varies which mizbeach you put it on, the one outside or the one inside. Sometimes also the zrika is done on the parochet itself. So there's basically those four avodot. Those are very important. And they have to be done lishma. That's going to be the very beginning of our masechet. It's going to talk about lishma, which means it has to be done for the intent, with the right intent. Okay, number one, you need intent for what sacrifice you're bringing, which you see sounds a little silly. On the other hand, you have to remember, who's doing it? The kohanim. The kohanim are not the ones who who are obligated in the sacrifice. It's an individual brings a sacrifice, and then the Kohen deals with it. So obviously it's important that the Kohen know which sacrifice he's bringing when he does this, for what purpose, for which person he's doing it. That's also important. He has to have l'shem ba'alim. And then there's a whole din we've learned before, which is pigul, which is if you had an intent when you're bringing the sacrifice that it would be eaten in the wrong time, because there's a time frame also for eating the sacrifice. And the sacrifice that we do eat, we can eat them within a certain time frame depending which sacrifice it is. So if you have an intent that it's eaten for the wrong time period, then it's pasul, and then also it's isur karet if you eat it. And then there's chutz limkomo. If you have intent that it's going to be eaten outside the place where that sacrifice is allowed to be eaten, because there's also rules about where the sacrifice can be eaten. So if you have intent to eat it outside the location where it can be eaten, then it's also pasul. Okay, that's not isur karet, though. There's a difference in pigul between the different types. Okay, if you don't remember all this, it's okay. First of all, you can always listen again on the tape, but we'll get back to these things. Okay, so we have the four avodot: shechita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrika. When it comes to a bird, there's only two, and that's malika, which is like shechita, where they would kind of put their finger in the thumb in the neck to kind of strangle it. And then there's something called either haza'a or mitsui hadam, which is some sort of, it was a different type of blood act that they would do. Okay, then after they did the zrika is considered, even though there's four avodot, it's considered the important avodah, which gets the person kapara, okay, the atonement from the sacrifice. Even if it's not a chatat or an asham, also there's a sense of atonement, kapara, in a korban. So the zrika is what affects the kapara. Then after you do the zrika, though, you're not finished. Then what do you have to do? It's called haktara. You do the burning on the mizbeach of, now it depends what type of sacrifice. If it's an ola, you're going to burn the entire thing because it all goes up to Shamayim. That's an ola. Nobody eats it. If you eat it, well, then you don't burn the entire thing on the mizbeach because some of it you eat. So what do? You take certain parts of it, like the chelev and a bunch of different things. Well, like a chelev hayoter. There's a bunch of different parts. We'll get to them. That you're maktir on the mizbeach. We just had reference to this about the eliyah in the, I think it's in the keeps, I forget, I'm not good with the animals, but I think it's the keves has the eliyah, and that's the tail, and it had a unique specialness because the tail also gets burned on the mizbeach. Okay? So in the sacrifices that you eat, first of all, this isn't an ikar avodah. So for example, if you didn't do it, it's not ma'akev. Okay, there's certain things, I didn't get to it, but we'll talk right away when we start the daf today about lishma. We'll see that lishma is also not ma'akev. Okay, meaning if you, well, we'll see. Well, it doesn't make it pasul, let's put it that way. So if you didn't burn the imurim, the korban is not pasul, but it's really like a matir. In other words, in theory, you're not supposed to eat the meat until you did the haktarat imurim on the mizbeach. Okay, so those are all the extra parts you're supposed to burn on the mizbeach. In a regular, let's say, shlamim, or a chatat, where in the chatat, what's the difference between, right, there's also, sometimes the kohanim eats it, sometimes the person who brings the korban eats it. So like in a shlamim, it's the person who brings the korban, in a chatat, it's the kohanim eat it. So they can't eat until you've burned the imurim on the mizbeach. Okay. Tov, that was a basic intro. There's obviously a lot of details, and maybe that was too many details all at once, but if not, well, it's just, sometimes it's good to have the background. You at least know what all the options are within it. I want to point out one thing I read that I liked in the Koren's introduction by their editor, Joshua Schreier, who happened to be my teacher many years ago when I studied in Lindenbaum. He wrote that there was a good distinction between Nezikin starts out. Nezikin is all about, I'm sorry, not it starts out. Nezikin is all about your acts, what you did, right, your masin. We don't really care what your intentions were. You damaged someone, it doesn't matter. What do we learn? Adam mu'ad l'olam. Bein shogeg, bein mizik, whether he did it on purpose, whether he did it by accident. So it's all about your masim. And kodshim is very much all about your intentions. And the intentions are very important, and it immediately starts out in Zvachim with the issue of lishma. You had the wrong intent while you were bringing the korban, and we see that the korban is no longer valid. Okay, we're going to talk about what it means it's no longer valid, but we'll talk about different options and differences between certain korbanot. What happens if you do them lo lishma, then what happens? What do we do? So it was an interesting distinction, I thought, to talk about, you know, ma'asim, where that was all the whole central focus, versus here, a lot of it is going to be around kavanah and what your intents are. And then there's going to be a big debate, not in the Gemara, actually, about when we talk about intent of lishma, lo lishma, are we talking about that you verbalized it, or is it enough just that you thought it in your head? Okay? So I'll show you the different opinions in a few minutes, but that's an important thing that is not clear from the Gemara here. When we talk about machshava, do we mean machshava, really machshava, with intent just in your mind, or intent that you express in words? Just forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, okay, so let's start with that. We'll start zvachim. Okay, kol hazvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman ksherim. Any zevach that was sacrificed shelo lishma is kasher. Okay, meaning you have to sacrifice it with the right intent. But if you did it with the wrong intent, then it's kasher. I remember what I wanted to say. I'll explain that in a minute. Let me get back to it. What I wanted to say is all the four avodot. Okay, the shchita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika have to be done with intent, okay, with the right intentions. So if, we'll see soon later today, what if you started off with one intention and then you switch to a different intention? Then we'll talk about what happens then. But the idea is that all have to be done with the right intent. We'll talk today about what if you didn't have, you know, in other words, there's three options with intent. Either you intended, let's say it was a shlamim. You intended for it to be a shlamim, okay, that's intent. Then there's, you just didn't have any intent whatsoever. It was kind of powerful. You didn't think about it while you were doing it. This is L'shem Shlamim. And then we have, you intended it to be a Korban Pesach and not a Korban Shlamim. So that is negative intent, right? You had the wrong intent. So when we talk about Shelo Lishma, we'll obviously have to talk about, do we mean the middle category where you just didn't have any intent at all? Or do we mean only if you had intent that it was something else would it be problematic? Okay, so here we say, if it's nizbechu, shelo lishma. Okay, so you can already see, Rashi says, shenishchat ola l'shem shlamim. So he already says it's only option number three. Okay, if you were taking an ola, and you thought, I'm bringing this for a shlamim, or the Kohen thought, he's bringing this l'shem shlamim, then it's kasher. What does it mean it's ksherim? Okay, so Rashi explains, and this is what the meaning is, okay, they're ksherim, meaning, you don't say, oh, this sacrifice is now totally disqualified and we have to just take it out of the Beit HaMikdash immediately. Don't continue working with it. No. It's actually ksherim, meaning, so you shechted it, l'shem shlamim. So now, even though it was an ola, now you continue to do all, whatever, let's say you were only a shchita, so you continue and do all the rest of the avodot. Okay, we'll see later what's your intent then. Is it supposed to be an ola then or a shlamim? Because you had the wrong intent. Okay, but we'll see later that it means actually you're supposed to go back and say it's an ola. Okay, let's say you called it a shlamim by accident. Then you just keep going and calling it an ola. But, ela shelo alu labalim l'shem chova. In other words, it's not disqualified. And therefore, you have to continue doing the rest of the steps of the process, but it doesn't count, okay? In other words, it's not going to count for what it was intended to count for. It'll be, okay, we'll see later, they use this term, it'll be like a korban nedava, like an extra offering, that you're offering a voluntary offering, okay? So therefore, you continue to offer it, just not for what you intended to offer it for, because it's already met, you know, it's disqualified from that. Cool. Did you want to ask something?
Yeah, the Kohen was doing most of the actual actions.
Yeah.
So the person having the intent is like walking with him?
No, so I'm assuming it's the Kohen who has the intent. The person sacrificing it has to have the intent. That's why I said in the beginning that it's complicated, because the Kohen, as you might think, what do you mean you have the wrong intent? But the Kohen doesn't necessarily, right? He's kind of doing a job, and people have passed him certain things to do, and, you know, his job, that's why Kohen's job is quite difficult. He has to keep everything in order. In fact, we in shul yesterday, someone gave a shiur on all the different korbanot, and specifically he was focusing on the bird offerings. And it was very interesting because he was discussing the fact that you needed a mimuneh on the birds. There was someone just in charge of that. They had to keep track of, you know, who needs birds for what sacrifice, and it was a whole big job to keep everything organized. That was their job.
But it seems so strange in a way, because then, I mean, the person can be so dissociated.
Well, that was part of the problem with Korbanot, and that's why everything changed. That's when we talk about change in halacha, the biggest change happened, you know, the change not even in the halacha, I would say, but in the creation of our nation. Like, things changed majorly when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Because until that point, people were not so active in terms of all these things. They had to pay the money to do it. They had to, you know, maybe separate an animal, designate an animal. You know, with certain things, they would just put money in. And you know, like the kinim, there was, if you remember, in Shkalim, we learned there was a kupa for kinim. The kinim were the bird's nests. And people would put money in and kind of write down, I need this for the, you know, for this. And then the kohanim would go buy the birds and take care of it. So yeah, Korbanot, people were very distanced from it, and everything changed when there was no longer a Beit HaMikdash, and we didn't have this, we needed something else. And even before the Korban HaBayit, okay, if we talk about, it's really after Bayit Sheni that things changed drastically, but because after Korban Bayit Rishon, there was a bit of a change, and then people started wanting to have tefillot, they had what was called the Ma'amadot, where people prayed that the sacrifices be accepted for the Korbanot Zibur, and there were people from the community that would get involved and do prayers, because they wanted to have some connection, but that only started much later. It's hard
it's
for us to imagine because it's a different.
Like a Korban Chatat. Where's your intent if Kohen Gadol is? I mean, he's supposed to.
Right, not just the Kohen Gadol, the regular Kohen.
The Kohen, regular
right.
Kohen.
Mm-hmm.
Problematic.
Right. So there are parts that you do. There's smicha on the Korban, that you're active in certain parts of it, but the main of Avodot you're not really active in. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Chutz min, now we're going to have two exceptions, okay? And this is, okay, here are the two exceptions. Chutz min ha-Pesach v'ha-Chatat, okay? Ha-Pesach v'ha-Chatat don't work if you did them for, you know, they're disqualified immediately. If you have the wrong intention, these two korbanot are disqualified entirely. Okay, now, when is the Pesach? Ha-Pesach bizmano, this is something we referred to a very, very long time ago. I'm assuming it was in Masechet Pesachim. Pesach bizmano, when the Korban Pesach, if you set aside something for a Korban Pesach and bring it to the Beit HaMikdash on, you know, Aleph Nisan, let's say, okay, that's not called a Korban Pesach. Okay, that's just called a Korban Shlamim. So if you bring that Korban Pesach and have the wrong, and there's the wrong intent, and the intent is it'd be for Shlamim, well, that's not the wrong intent. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. That becomes disqualified because a regular Korban Pesach. And there's anything that you bring and call it Korban Pesach, but you bring it on any time other than, and there's a debate whether it's from Chatzot of Yud Dalet, okay, that's the time, or some people say even, I think the other opinion is maybe even the morning of Yud Dalet, even though you can't bring it till Chatzot, but let's just say from Chatzot of Yud Dalet Nisan, then it's a Pesach. And then if you had the wrong intent, it's disqualified entirely. But if you bring it any other time, then it's just a regular Korban Shlamim. And then we'd say, again, it's Pasul, but it's kasher that you can still continue sacrificing it. It just didn't work for what you wanted to do it for. It's just a classic Korban Nedava. But if it's a Korban Pesach bizmano, or a Chatat b'cholzman, this just means any Chatat. They're saying b'cholzman to compare it to the Pesach, which is only bizmano. Any Korban Chatat, if there's the wrong intent, then it's disqualified. And then you're not allowed to do the rest of the avodot with it. Okay? You can't continue the process. You stop immediately. Okay? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af ha'asham. Okay? He says the Korban Asham is like the Korban Chatat, which makes sense in the sense that they're both for sin, right? They're both sin offerings. And then he says, a Pesach bizmano v'chatat v'asham b'chol zman, which wasn't necessary to repeat. That was obvious, but they repeat it anyway. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, why this? Now he gives a reason. Hachatat ba alachet, vasham ba alachet. Ma chatat psula shalot shma, af asham pasul shalot shma. So he says, since they're both sin offerings, we're going to assume that the same law applies across the board to both of them. Okay, we're going to see psukim to prove all these things much later in the Gemara. Yossi ben Choni Omer, hanishchatim, as we'll see why the chatat and the Pesach bizmano are unique in this area. We'll see drashot about that. And then the asham, we understand, is a comparison to the chatat, only according to Rabbi Eliezer. Yossi ben Choni Omer, hanishchatim l'shem Pesach u'l'shem chatat psulim. Okay, if things are slaughtered, not only is it Pesach bizmano and chatat that you do for the wrong intent, But if you take, let's say, a shlamim, and you have the intent that it be for the Korban Pesach, and it happens to be your Yudalid Nisan, okay, or, that would only work if it's Bizmano, or you bring a Korban Shlamim and then think it's going to be for Korban Chatat, or it could be an Olah, you know, whatever it would be, if you had an intent that it's a Chatat, or that it's a Pesach, and it happens to be on Yudalid in the afternoon, then it's also going to be disqualified, okay? Then also it's Pasul. So we're going to have the same din for the Pesach and the Chatat in the reverse. Not just if you had a Pesach and Chatat with the wrong intent, but you had something else and you intended incorrectly that it was a Pesach and a Chatat. Shimon Achi Azariah. Okay, this is a very strange way to call him, right? Why is that? Why is he called Achi Azariah? So Rashi tells us, based on his Gemara in Sota, he says that he was a guy, Al Shem Sha'azariah Asak B'Prakmatia. Okay, this is just an interesting aside. Azariah did business and supported his brother Shimon, so his brother Shimon could learn Torah, like Issachar and Zvulun. And because of that, he was to give him the schuyot for having allowed someone to learn Torah, they called him in the name of his brother. So Shimon Achi Azariah Omer, Shchatam L'Shem Gavoa Mehen Kshirim, L'Shem Namuch Mehen Psulim. He adds more psulim. What does he say? If you took a korban that was a shlamim, and then you raised it a level, okay, to an ola. Okay, an ola is considered on a higher level than shlamim because everything is burnt. So if you took a shlamim and you shechted it with the intent that it was an ola, then it will be ksherim. Okay, again, it won't work as a shlamim, but it will be disqualified. You'll be able to continue sacrificing it. But l'shem namuch mehem. But if you go down a level, then it's pasul. That's if you had a lower intent, you lowered it in kedusha, then it's going to be pasul. Okay, this is interesting. As we ended in Horayot with all these hierarchies, we're learning that within the sacrifices, there were also hierarchies. Ketzad, okay, what's an example? Kodshe kodshim sheshchatan l'shem kodshim kalim psulim. Kodshim kalim sheshchatan l'shem kodshe kodshim ksherim. Okay, so if you do, if it's something that's in the category of the kodshe kodshim, and you intended for it to be a kodshim kalim by accident, it's psul, but the reverse would be kasher. Another example, ha-bechor v'ha-ma'asir sheshchatan l'shem shlamim ksherim. Shlamim sheshchatan l'shem b'chor l'shem ma'aser psulim. Korban shlamim is on a higher level than the b'chor and the ma'aser. So if you did b'chor and ma'aser with the intent to be a shlamim, it's okay. But if you do it again, right, okay, I just want to keep repeating. Okay means you can continue sacrificing it, but it didn't count for your b'chor ma'aser or your ma'aser or b'chor. But if you did it the reverse, you had a shlamim and you intended accidentally for it to be a b'chor or a ma'aser, then it's going to be pasul because that's going down a level. Okay, so we have a wide variety of opinions here about which things get disqualified and can't be sacrificed at all versus which can. Okay?
Yeah. Someone connect to Shaz. I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah.
I'm going to just use Ruth as an example. Ruth has to give a sacrifice. Does she understand what that sacrifice, or did she go to the Kohen and say, look, this is what I did?
I believe she went to the Kohen and explains to the Kohen what she needs, and then the Kohen takes care of it. And then I think, the truth is, I really have to double check this. I didn't see such a reference to this, but I'm going to check whether the person also needs intent while this is going on. I don't think so. I think the idea is when they're shechting it, and when, right, the person outside doesn't know what's going on with the sacrifice inside. I have to figure out how involved, we'll have to figure out the reality of this, how involved the people were. It could be it depended also on the sacrifice. So, because I know there is smicha, the question is when did they do the smicha on the korban? I assume that was before they did all. I think that's when the animal's still alive, and then after they take the korban and do the avodot. So, I assume it's called the kohen with the intentions, but could be I'm mistaken. I'll have to check it out. Okay, lamali lemitna ella shelo alu. Litnei v'lo alu l'balein l'shem chova. Now they start, which they often start at the beginning of a sechtot, about the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kol hazvachim shenizbechu shelo l'shman kshirim, ela shelo alu l'balein l'shem chova. Okay, so they're kshirim. However, they didn't count for their balein l'shem chova. Now to you and I, this sounds like that's a perfect word to use, but the Gemara obviously has other intents in mind. Sometimes they ask questions so that they can tell you, it's a question that they know the answer to and they're just trying to tell you something extra. So they're saying, why does it say Ela, Shelo Alu? It could have just said, Vilo Alu Labalim L'Shem Chova. In other words, it's kasher and it didn't work as a to cover their obligation. So what are they going to say here? Ha Kamash Malam Labalim Hu Delo Alu L'Shem Chova. It's to teach you that it didn't work for the Baalim as a chova. Aval b'kedushatayu kaime v'asur l'shanuye behu. It's to teach you that they're still in their status of kedusha, and you can't change anything. What does that mean? It's where I started, and I said, let's say you do an ola. Let's take Rasha's example, and you did it l'shem shlamim. So now, when you continue to bring it, what might you have thought? Well, now, since I intended shlamim, let's turn this into a shlamim. But no, it's b'kedushatayu kaime. It's still an ola. Nothing has changed. And you can't treat it as a shlamim now. You can't say, oh, well, now I had the wrong intent. Now it's going to become something else, which you might have easily thought. So ela is to stress, I don't know why the ela tells you that exactly, but it's to stress that they're continuing in their kedushatayu and asur l'shanuye bahu. Uchi de Rava, like Rava says, da'ama Rava, ola sheshachata shelo lishma, asur lizrok dama shelo lishma. If you shechted an ola with the wrong intent, asur lizrok dama shelo lishma, when you get to the zrika, because you continue the avodot, when you get to the zrika, you can, and presumably any of the other avodot, you can't have the wrong intentions then. I was thinking it's like waiting between milk and meat. So they say, once you eat, let's say you forgot and you ate dairy. So once you did it, you already ate dairy. There's no point to wait anymore. Okay, we're a fast day. You fast and then you break your fast, right? You don't continue fasting the rest of the day. You broke your fast, it's finished. But here, it's not the case. Okay, here we're saying that there's a kedusha to it. And maybe that's why, because those other things don't have a kedusha element. First of all, waiting to milk and meat bechlal is, more of a minhag. It's not even like a halacha midoraita or anything, but basically, we're going to say that these remain in their original state, and therefore you continue sacrificing as they were previously. Okay, now we're going to see two reasons for this. Ibaitema svara, maybe it's logic, based on logic, and ibaitema krawa, maybe it's based on a pasuk. As you could say both. Ibaitema svara, mishum deshane ba kolhane, mishum deshane ba kolhane, lishna ba veleza. So, I think it's a question, right? Mishum kol deshane, right? That in a, just because you switched it and made a mistake, what you think lishne be velezel, you're going to continue? In other words, it doesn't make any sense. Just be right. This is an ola. You're bringing it as an ola. Just because you made a mistake with it doesn't mean that you should change and go treat it as something else. Obviously, that's where it was. That's so it's logical. Ibaitemakra, or maybe you can learn it from a pasuk. Okay, here's a pasuk from Sefer Dvarim. It says, "Motzas svatecha tishmor." You have to keep what you said. Keep to your word. Vasita kasher nadarta l'Hashem lokecha. Okay, and do as you promised to Hashem through a neder. Nidava sher dibarta beficha. Do the nidava that you promised in your mouth. Now, there's something weird about this pasuk. Didn't we hai nidava? Nederhu. Didn't we just say it was a neder? Why are you all of a sudden calling it a nedavah? Now you could say the Torah has a poetic structure and often it calls, neder and nedavah are somewhat synonymous. But if you're in the world of Zvachim and Korbanot, neder and nedavah are two different things. Okay, a neder is when you say, Hare alai, I promise I'm going to bring a sacrifice. Which means that if you designate an animal and the animal gets lost, this is the main nafkamina between the two. You designate an animal, the animal gets lost, you have to bring another one because you committed that you were going to bring it. A nidava is when you say, this animal will be a korban, and then if something happens to the animal, then the animal gets lost, you don't have to provide a different one because you promised that animal and not that you were going to bring a sacrifice. So therefore, they say here, mapitom, they start talking about nidava, it's a neder. Ela, im kemasha nadarta asita, yehe neder. Vim lo, nidava yehe. Okay, in other words, if you do like you promised, then it will be a neder, then it will be like a neder, and if not, it will be a nidava. And then basically what's a nidava? It's like we said before, that it's like a voluntary offering. It's if you do things, and if you started kasher dibarta and you did it like you said, then it's a neder. But if not, it turns into a nidava, meaning it's just a voluntary offering, and then it doesn't count for what you intended it to be. Okay, but how would this, and then if it's a nidava, so how does, what were we trying to learn from here? We're trying to learn from here that you can't change. If it was an ola and you thought shlamim, you still have to do it as an ola. So they say, nidava, mishari l'shenuyeba. If you treat it as a nidava, So you can't start changing around in a Devan, calling it something else. So therefore, we're going to say it's what it originally was. Okay? And therefore, we learn it from a pasuk. Amar le Ravina le Rav Papa. Lo havit gabam be'orta b'tchuma be'chermecha. You weren't there learning Torah in the tchuma be'chermecha. It's a place. Derame rava milim al yata adade v'shane lehu. You weren't there in the Beit Midrash. He's basically saying, okay, Ravina says to Rav Papa, when Rava brought this really interesting contradiction and explained it. Okay, so get interested here. What's going on? My milim al yata. What is this great thing that he kind of brought up this contradiction and resolved it? Tnan kol hazvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman. So it says any zevach shelo lishman, right, is kasher. Tama dishelo lishman. What does it sound like? It's only if you intended it with, remember we said option 1, 2, and 3, right? Option 1 is you did an ola l'shem ola. Option 2 is you just didn't say anything or didn't intend anything. And option 3 is that you said it's for a shlamim. Okay? So it says, it sounds like from the Mishnah that the reason is that you specifically said shalom l'shma. You said it was an shlamim. Hastama, but if it was stama, meaning you didn't have any particular intent, Alu nami labalim l'shem chova. It would work. Okay, so you bring this korban ola. There's no specific intent when the kohen brings it. You would say it works l'shem chova. Alma stama nami ki lishma dami. So therefore, you would assume that stama is lishma. Okay. Oh, I forgot. I told you that I was going to get back to this issue of what it means lishma. Is it with b'machshava? Okay. So Rashi and Tosfot say that it's b'dibor. Okay. It has to be with speech. Okay? Meaning, when we talk about shalo lishma, it means you intended by speaking it. You said, I'm bringing this l'shem shlamim, even though it was really an ola. Okay? You would have to express it in words. But the Rambam says, he uses the words like this. Kigon in Psulei HaMukdashim, he says, Kigon shehu ola, okay, it's in Perek Yugimel Halacha Aleph, v'yechashev shehu shlamim. So, he doesn't exactly, what does it mean, yechashev? Okay? It's not so clear. The Mishnah Melech there says, he reads into the Rambam, and he says it must be the Rambam meant just intent. Okay, the intent alone without words, okay, even though maybe you could say Yechashev could be with words, it's not so clear, but the Mishnah Melech thinks that the Rambam held that it was just with thinking alone.
Sorry. Yeah. It's so interesting because it's so different than prayer. Because I'm trying to think of an example. If you start Shemona Esrei and you forget that the Alevi you have to go back. Like, right? Like, you can't, like, it's not like you can continue in the derech if the intent wasn't correct.
So first of all, I'll give you an example. Let's say you, okay, that's a good example, and I'll tell you why. It proves, I think, the opposite. If you daven, and you forget Yalev Yevo, okay, Vinyana Dioma, okay, today's Rosh Chodesh, you forgot Yalev Yevo, okay, let's forget about Marav, there's a different opinion about Marav, because Ein Kiddush Chodesh Balayla, Marav, you don't have to repeat. But if you forget in the morning, or in Mincha, you'd have to repeat Shmona Esrei. Now, repeating Shemona Esrei is a complicated halacha because what do you mean? You did all these brachot levatala. So what do we say? We say, well, your original tefillah was viewed as like a korban nedava, basically. And therefore, you're allowed to repeat Shemona Esrei and you say all those brachot all over again because it's almost viewed as a type of nedava, okay? So even that same concept comes up here, which is the same idea. You continue bringing the korban. I mean, here it's different. If you forget in the middle, you actually stop and you go back. But we don't view what you did as, you know, at least you said some sort of tefillah, right? And we don't go back every time you make a mistake in the tefillah. It depends on what it is. Yalav yavo, yes. Other things, not. It depends what kind of mistake you made in your tefillah.
But you change course. Like here, you just continue.
Well, again, but you also change course because you have to redo it. You have to redo it from the beginning. Right. The main difference is that there's no kedushah. In other words, in tefillah, it's not holy. Here you're dealing with an animal that was designated to be sacrificed. So it's a big deal. If you know, either we want to continue the process so it can be sacrificed, even if we're not right, and it turns into a nidava. Or we say that, no, it's, you know, you've messed it up. You can't do anything with it. And then we have to deal with it because you can't just, you know, let the animal go free at that point.
It's a hard concept.
It's also holy. Well, this is holiness associated with it.
Are also holy.
Right, but they don't have a chalut of kedusha. It's not an object with holiness to it, which is what we've learned many times. You know, what do you do with the animal? You have to leave him until he gets them, depending on what the animal is, or some have to be left to die if they were designated and not used. So there's, you know, there's a whole aspect of kedushat haguf, which doesn't exist, but there's no guf of tefillah. So it's different. And the tefillot were instituted kineged the korbanot, but they're not 100% like the korbanot.
It's just very counterintuitive, some of these things.
Yeah. I mean, look, the whole lot, it's hard for us to understand in general because we don't live in a world where sacrifices are, you know, I read somewhere in my, I forget where, but I think they said it was like for 1,300 years they were bringing korbanot or something like that. There was some count I saw somewhere. Yes. It's in here. It's in the Shanassian. Yeah, there's a really long introduction that I recommend reading if you have the time, or maybe read in parts because it's a lot of information, but it's a really good introduction to Schottenstein. So they say it's 1,300 years. I don't know if that number is, but
third of history,
but it's a long time. Like we think about, oh, there was, you know, but there was the Mishkan. There were a long time they were bringing sacrifices. Hard to understand for us exactly how it worked, but it's, what's good about it is, you know, we had Shkalim, we had like you sort of get a picture of the reality of it. Okay, so Amar, so now he says, so here's the contradiction, okay, we haven't gotten there yet. It says, right, we can assume from our Mishnah that if it was just Stama, it would work, it would be fine. Alma Stama Nami Kilishman Dami. So therefore we'd assume Stam, that middle case, would be like it was done Lishma. Uriminhi, but there's a contradiction. It says, now we're comparing, okay, I started off comparing the world of Nezikin to the world of Kodshim. Now we're going to compare the world of Gitin, okay, to the world of Kodshim. Rimimhi, kol haget shenichtav shelo l'shem isha, pasul. When it comes to Gitin, if you have a get that wasn't written particularly with the intent that it be for this woman and also for the man who's divorcing, the get is pasul. Ustamanami, pasul. Okay? So now you have, in that case, if it's stam, if it wasn't written with the actual intent for this woman, meaning it was the middle case, it was just written randomly for, you know, Yosef and Miriam. So, okay, Yosef and Miriam, that's a get, that's their get, you know, even if it's different, it wasn't written specifically for that Miriam, right? If there's a guy stam writing Gitin, he writes random names, okay? And then someone says, oh, that's my name and that's my wife's name, I'm going to go divorce her with this. You can't do that in Gitin. It has to be Lishma. So why wouldn't it be the same halacha by us? If you just bring a sacrifice without thinking who it's intended for, so it would be, why don't we use the same standards of Lishma for Gitin as we do for Zvachim? So now they say Ushane, and the answer is Zvachim b'stam l'shman omdim, Isha b'stam alav l'gerushin omedet. Here we have an interesting answer. Zvachim, when you already separated this animal to be a korban, which is the case where the animal was sacrificed, so it's obviously its intent was to be a korban. So therefore we can assume it was for whatever korban it was intended for. But a woman, a stam woman, is not omedet l'gerushin. Most women don't get divorced. Okay, I don't know if nowadays maybe the statistic would change, but still. Most women, still the majority of women, don't get divorced. So, therefore, we're going to say that in order for the get to work, you need a higher standard of lishma. Okay, that's their answer. So now they say, how do we know? Now we're working on this assumption that the zachim b'stamak sherim. So how do we know? So now we've answered that question. Now we're going to go off on how do we know that tzvachim b'stam are ksherim? Minalan. Ilema mehaditna. Maybe we learn it from our Mishnah. Kol tzvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman. Right? The lo katane shelo nizbechu lishman. Right? Notice the wording. It doesn't say, it says they were nizbach with the wrong intent. It doesn't say they weren't sacrificed for their proper intent. So therefore, gabe get nami haktane. That's not a good proof, because by get, what does it say? Kol aget shenichtav shelo l'shem isha, pasul. V'lo katane shelo nichtav l'shem isha, pasul. But by get, they use the exact same lashon. So therefore, if by get, they use the exact same lashon, So therefore, they use the exact same lashon by get, and what do we say? By get, if you do without regular intent, it's no good. So therefore, you can't say that you can learn it from the wording of our Mishnah, because also from there you can learn it. So therefore, they say it must be from somewhere else. Ela mehaditnan. Okay, this is a Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel. Mehaditnan ketzad lishman v'shelo lishman. Okay, there's a whole here. Maybe we'll just flip for a minute. Put it on Yud Gimel. It says, "Hapesach v'chatan shechatan shelo lishma, kibel v'halach v'zarak shelo lishman." Okay, so that's what we already learned about the Pesach and Chatat that were done shelo lishman. But now they say, "Oh, lishman v'shelo lishman. Oh, shelo lishman u'lishman." What if not just it was done shelo lishma, but even if it was done lishma and shelo lishma, or shelo lishma and lishma? So now the Mishnah explains what is this. Ketzad lishman v'shelo lishman, l'shem pesach u'l'shem shlamim. What would be a case of lishma and shelo lishma? If you started out with the intent that it be for Pesach, and then you continued and thought, oh, it's going to be a shlamim. Okay? So you started out with Pesach, and then you thought shlamim. Now, what would your obvious assumption be? Then what can we infer from here? Ta'ama, the reason why this is no good, if you start out, you took a Korban Pesach, and you thought, Shechtin this is a Korban Pesach. But then, toward the end of your Shechita, you start thinking, oh, but no, I'm actually going to do it for a Shlamim. You forgot that it was Pesach, or whatever it is. You start thinking about Shlamim. Or, again, whether you have to think about it, or you said it out loud. Ta'ama, da'amar l'shem Pesach, l'shem Shlamim. Ha, l'shem Pesach, u'stama, what if you just did it l'shem Pesach, and then you continued without any particular intent? Just stam, what would you obviously say? Could be kasher. So therefore, what do you see? Stama is like lishma. Alma staman ki lishma dame. But then they say, no, that's not a good example. Because dil mashane hatam, damar kolosel, dat rishona woseh. Now that there, he started out with the right intention. So you're not going to think if he's stama that he's going to change his intent. So it's only going to be puzzled if you actually change your intent to something negative, right? The wrong kavanah. But that doesn't prove anything about a case where you didn't start out l'shem Pesach, you just did it stam. So that doesn't prove it either. So we tried to prove from the wording of our Mishnah, we said no, because the wording in Gittin is the same, and then the halacha is the opposite. We tried to prove from this Mishnah, that didn't work. So now we're going to say maybe from the next part of that Mishnah. Elam is safe, but what does it say in the next part of the Mishnah? They gave the case of shelo lishman u'lishman. So what's a case where you started shelo lishman, and then you turned to lishma? Right? L'shem shlamim u'lishem Pesach. So again, you would say, Tama damar l'shem shlamim u'l'shem Pesach. Ha stama u'l'shem Pesach. But what if you started out just stam? What would you assume? It would be kashir, because only if you did it l'shem shlamim and then you said it was Pesach. If you take a korban Pesach, you start out shechting it l'shem shlamim, then you realize your mistake, so then you do it l'shem Pesach. That's going to be problematic. But if you just did it stam, you didn't have intent in the beginning, and then you did l'shem Pesach, we would assume it would be okay. So they say, no, also there, you can't necessarily prove it. Because dil mashane hatam da'amar yochiach safo tchilato. There, since you didn't have any particular intent and then you did Pesach, you would say, ah, the end will prove the beginning. Inami, I did tani lishman v'shalo lishman tani nami, shalo lishman u'lishman. That since they used the lishma u'lo lishma, and then the second case was shalo lishman lishma, so they just brought that as the example of the foil, but it doesn't necessarily mean it wouldn't be stam and then psachim. And therefore, you can't prove from that either anything about stam, because we don't really know. So therefore, they're finally going to give our answer. Elameha, we can learn it from here. L'shem shisha dvarim hazevach nizbach. You need intent for six things when you're sacrificing, when you're bringing a korban. L'shem zevach, for the particular type of korban that you're bringing. L'shem zoveach, for the person who's sacrificing it. L'shem shem, it has to be l'shem Hashem. Okay, like you can't think I'm sacrificing this animal to Avodah Zarah. L'shem ishim, for the fact that it be burned on the, consumed on the flame, right? Normally we roast meat. This has to be with the intent, right, and the sacrifices, that they burn them, okay? L'shem reach, that you, the way they would burn it was in a particular way that it would create a smell. Okay, if you roast it and then burn it, it wouldn't have a smell. So they would just directly burn it without roasting it first, and that would create this pleasant smell. And l'shem nichach, that it be for appeasing to God. So you have to have those six intents. V'chatat v'asham l'shem chet. And the chatat and asham have an additional, which is you have to intend that what sin it's coming for. Amar Rabbi Yossi, af mi shelo hayal b'libo l'shem achat mikol ele, kasher shishtnai beitinu. Even if you didn't have in your heart any of these, or one of these intentions, okay, or any of these really he means, it would still be kasher. Why is that? Because they made a tnai beitin. What does that mean? Adnu beitin delo lema lishmo, dilma ate lememar shelo lishmo. The beitin made a takana. What did they institute? They said, even though you really need all these six intentions and the seventh for the chatat and the asham, we're worried that if you tell people you have to say it for a particular thing, they might make a mistake and say the wrong thing. So better, even though me'ikar adin, you really need lishma, better to just not have intent so that you don't mess up the intent. It's a very interesting theory. And therefore, it's obvious from his words that what? Okay, how could, if you say that stama is pasul, well then of course the beitin wouldn't be able to make this takana, this tanai beitin, that everyone should stop doing things lishma. If the korbanot are disqualified because of it, it obviously wouldn't be able to do something against the halacha. So therefore, what they instituted must have been within the halacha, which means from there they prove that stama is kasher. Okay, tomorrow we're going to get to, how do you know, right, they took all these things as assumptions, how do you know that by get, stama is not lishma? Okay, from what source can we learn that stama in a get is not going to be considered lishma? Okay, whereas by zvachim, we just proved it is, because they even made this takana that you shouldn't even do it lishem, because you might come to do lishma of the wrong thing. It's a very interesting theory that the beitin comes and says, oh, don't do this anymore, right? The beitin often comes in when they see a need, and they say, well, we're going to make sure, I'll give you another example of a tanai beitin, the most popular one we've seen, by ketubot. If you don't do a ketubah, okay, a husband doesn't give his wife a ketubah, he basically, she can demand the ketubah anyway, because the Beit Din instituted it to protect the woman. And the Beit Din can institute all sorts of things to protect people or protect things. Achrayut, we said, is taut sofer. If you didn't bring achrayut in a get, you didn't, in a sale, you sold your property and then someone took it away from them because the property was lien. The fact that you have to replace, okay, there was a debate about this, but many people hold the achrayut taut sofer. You didn't give, say, I'm selling this to you under achrayut and I'm going to pay you back the money if someone demands the lien property for some loan I have, then it's implicit, because the Beit Din made all these takanot so that people would be protected. Okay, so in this case, they wanted to protect people from having to bring additional korbanot, so they basically said, just do it stam so that you don't mess things up. Okay, so therefore, stam must be kasher. Whereas we're going to see, by get, it's pasul, and why is that? Okay, that all that middle case, right? If it's lishma, we know it's good. If it's shalo lishma, we know it's not good. What if it's just stam? So by zvachim, we go that way, and by get, we go the other way.